Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 18. Soham priyasya sarita paridevataya. Lila katas tavanushinghavarincha gitaha. Ajasti taramya nugrahan gunavit pramukto. Duragani te pada yugalaya hangsa sangaha. Sa that aham I Prahlad Maharaj priyasya of the dearmost surida well wisher paradevataya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead lila kataya of the narrations of the pastimes. Tava, your Nrisingha, O my Lord Nrisingadev. Vrinchagita, given by Lord Brahma, by the disciple succession. Anja, easily. Titarami, I shall cross. Anugrinan, constantly describing. Guna, by the modes of material nature. Vipramukta, specifically being uncontaminated. Durgani, all miserable conditions of life. Te of you, Pada Yuga Alaya, fully absorbed in meditation on the lotus feet, Hangsa Sangha, having the association of Hangsas or liberated persons who have no connection with material activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord Nrisingadev, by engaging in the transcendent loving service, the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hungsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the modes, three modes of material nature, and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories, following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciple succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. Purport. Devotee's life and duty are very well explained here. In. As soon as a devotee can chant the holy name and glories of the Supreme Lord, he certainly comes to the liberated platform. Attachment for glorifying the Lord by hearing chanting the holy name and activities of the Lord, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, certainly brings one to the position where material contamination is absent. One should chant the bona fide songs received from the disciple succession. Bhagavad Gita is said that the chanting is powerful when one follows the disciple succession. Evam parampara praptam, imam rajarshi vidu. Manufacturing many ways of chanting will never be effective. However, chanting the song or the narration left by the previous acharyas, Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanta, is extremely effective. And this process is very easy. Therefore, in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj uses the word anjaha, easily, accepting the thoughts of exalted authorities through the simple succession is certainly much easier than the method of mental speculation, by which one tries to invent some means to understand the absolute truth. The best process is to accept the instructions of the previous acharyas and follow them. And God realization, self-realization, becomes extremely easy. By following the easy method, one is liberated from the contamination of material modes of nature. And thus one can certainly cross the ocean of nescience, in which there are many miserable conditions. By following the footsteps of the great acharyas, one associates with the hungsas or paramahansas, those who are completely freed from material contamination. Indeed, by following the instructions of the previous acharyas, one is always freed from all material contamination, and thus one's life becomes successful, for one reaches the goal of life. This material world is miserable, regardless of one's standard of life. Of this, there is no doubt. Attempts to mitigate the miseries of material existence by material methods will never be successful. One must take the Krishna consciousness to become really happy. Otherwise, happiness is impossible. One may say that becoming advanced spiritual life also involves tapasya, voluntary acceptance of some inconvenience. However, such inconvenience is not as dangerous as material attempts to mitigate all miseries. So hum priyasya sarida paridevataya lila katas tava nrsingha vrchinta gitaha anjastitarm yanu grinan gunavimukto Durgani te pada yugalaya hangsa sangaha. O my Lord Nrsingadeva, by engaging in your transcendent loving service in the association of devotees or liberated souls, hangsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the modes of material nature, and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of the Lord Brahma and his disciples' succession. In this way I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. Prahlad Maharaj is giving us the method of becoming Krishna conscious. And it begins with service to the great devotees. Now, of course, when one begins service to the great devotees, it doesn't mean that one's service becomes perfect. And then what do we mean by service? Service is not only to give a donation or bring something to the great devotees, but it also entails to hear. Service begins with hearing. Maya sakta manak partha yogam yunjan manashraya. Asamchayam samagramam yita gyasasi tats chinu. Oh, hear from me, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So, just by hearing this service, but of course it doesn't mean that when we're hearing, we automatically follow what we've heard, or even we've heard very much. So therefore, in the association of devotees, we have to hear also about how to hear. Because if we don't learn how to hear, we'll never really hear. We'll hear something, but we won't hear things as they actually are. So hearing about hearing is our first business, learning how to hear. That no one can hear it with rapt attention unless one's mind is completely controlled. One's mind cannot be completely controlled unless one's habits of eating, sleeping, mating, defending are controlled. In other words, unless one's senses are engaged in Krishna service, then one's material existence will not stop, and therefore if one's mind is agitated by material desire, one will not be able to hear with rapt attention. Therefore, in the beginning, our most important thing is to learn how to hear so we can hear with some attention. Now we hear with some attention, then we can actually find out what Krishna wants us to do. Not that in the beginning we don't find out what Krishna wants us to do. Krishna says, chant Hare Krishna, And so many people can just chant Hare Krishna. But that doesn't mean that they're actually chanting Hare Krishna. They're trying to chant Hare Krishna. The Hare Krishna mantra is more than just letters of the alphabet put together. It's a transcendental sound vibration, which is non-different from Krishna. And Krishna reveals himself to the devotee when the devotee chants with attention and with love, with feeling. Therefore, in the beginning we hear, and then we hear that we should learn how to hear. And to learn how to hear, we have to, well, as much as we have understood, then we have to put it into practice. And if we put that into practice, then Krishna, incorrectly, then Dandami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Practice means as much as we were consistent and enthusiastic about putting things into practice, to that extent, Krishna gives us more intelligence how to become more consistent and how to become more enthusiastic. Now, if we don't know that the purpose of hearing is to become more consistent, more steady, and more enthusiastic, then we can go on hearing, and if we don't become more steady and enthusiastic, then it's called shravam eva hi kevalam. We're just wasting our time. We're not going to make any advancement. If at the end of hearing, we're exactly, we think, well, that's really nice, you know. Now I've learned how to sell paintings better or something. I've gotten the inspiration to sell paintings or whatever. Now I know how to become famous. I know how to make money, become rich. And isn't that the purpose of what we're here for? How to win friends and influence people? No, actually the purpose is to become more steady and more enthusiastic, to find out what Krishna's service is and how to do it more consistently, with more care and attention. We don't know what consistent and enthusiastic means. At least carefully. Carefully means steadily. Or carefully means with enthusiasm. It's the minimum of enthusiasm. And attention means it's the minimum of consistency. We're doing something with attention. We're actually doing it. Rather than doing a million other things in our mind, we're actually doing that one thing with attention. And if we do it carefully, that's our enthusiasm, our love, the seed of love at least. So, in the beginning we're getting some knowledge, but now we have to see what that knowledge is. We have to assimilate the knowledge, see it from different perspectives, so that we understand what is actually the Siddhanta. What is the knowledge telling us to do? What is it telling us to do? How is it telling us to do whatever we're doing? That's seeing things from the point of view of Krishna. Instead of seeing things through the modes of material nature, we're seeing things now with the eyes of Krishna, the way he wants us to see things. Then we'll be able to see all these living entities are all Krishna's eternal servants. I should help Krishna in his mission to help them become Krishna conscious. I should do something for that. That's seeing things through the eyes of knowledge. Otherwise, we're seeing, oh, there's so many devotees in this temple. Half of them in Maya most of the time. The other half are completely in Maya most of the time. I'm the real devotee here. You know, I've been around here. I have some reason to think I'm self-great. And one of the reasons is that I'm so humble, therefore I'm certainly worthy of all praise. In other words, Maya will, we see things through the vision that Maya is giving us, and it's usually full of crazy, nonsensical understandings of things. Nothing to do with what Krishna said, everything to do with what my mother said or my professor in school said, my authority. So when we see things properly, then we'll know what to do. If we actually see things properly, then we can act with conviction. If everything is dark, it's very hard to act with conviction. If you're cooking in the dark, you're probably going to be very, very cautious about what you're doing. And you're probably going to burn yourself anyhow, no matter how cautious you are, because you're in the dark. Now, if someone turns on the light, then you can cook with conviction. You put your hand here, you know, oh. No, you can actually work with conviction. And if you work with conviction, then you can develop skill, either by hearing, by applying what you heard, or by experience, by seeing through experience. Or not at all. If you're in the blind, if you're in the dark, you don't know if you're getting it right or wrong. You have no idea what the results really are. You just hope that you don't burn yourself or there's something to eat at the end, whatever it might be. So therefore, when the light is on and you work with conviction, then you become more and more expert by practice. You find out what works, what doesn't work, and then you can develop the character of an expert cook by experience and knowledge. So, Prahlad Maharaj said, after you gain that conviction and knowledge, then you become convinced, you develop a taste for hearing, for following the great acharyas. You become their servant. It's not in the beginning we're just hearing and then we're thinking, yeah, I'm so intelligent, I've understood, and then we do something, we take all the credit. See how intelligent I am. But when one becomes more realized, one realizes actually by their mercy they've given me the intelligence how to become a servant to the servant. And therefore I have to remember that I'm their servant. And therefore we take on their mood of service. We remember them. We serve their instructions, not simply out of thanks a lot for the instructions, I'll see you later. But they're in our heart, and we become this. We serve their instructions, but we serve them by serving their instructions. It becomes personal what we're doing. Or Srila Prabhupada said, Rupa Goswami tells us in the Nectar of Devotion that we should get up for Mangalarti. So if we get up for Mangalarti on the basis of Srila Rupa Goswami has asked us to do it, then we're serving his lotus feet. It's not like, why am I here? I don't know, you know. They threw me out of bed. It's warmer in the temple than it is in the ashram. No, we have to put Rupa Goswami in our heart. And then we'll be serving his lotus feet. And then we'll have his association. And by his association, we'll develop the good qualities necessary to have a taste for chanting with awe and reverence, or at least with like a child calling us for his mother, because that's how the great acharyas are chanting. We'll be able to hear how they're chanting, and we'll be able to duplicate their chanting with that same feeling. And then we'll get the same result they're getting. So, Krishna wants us to come to that platform. That's why he's giving us this knowledge. He's waiting for us to do things properly, to understand things properly, to act properly. And then he'll put us into different tests. Or as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, one must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses him with genuine spiritual understanding. So it's not so cheap to get this realized knowledge. We get it theoretically. We may even apply it and think, now I've understood it. And then we're put to the test. Suddenly, all the ecstasy goes away. Everything is dry. All we're doing is getting criticism. Hopefully they're not throwing us off the cliff like Prahlad Maharaj. But, you know, things aren't going the way we think they're supposed to be going. I thought I was realized. I thought I understood. And now, why is Krishna putting me in this misery? He should be bringing me back to the spiritual world. No, we have to be tested and see how sincere we actually are. Are we doing it to serve Krishna in any circumstance? Or do we expect something back from Krishna, demand something back from Krishna? So Krishna will put us into difficulty. He'll test us. And when he sees the genuine desire, then in any circumstance, still I'm thinking about Krishna, like Prahlad Maharaj, or Dhruva Maharaj, or the Pandavas. Then he gives us genuine spiritual understanding. Then we become strengthened by exerting that spiritual muscle and maintaining our consciousness of Krishna in any circumstance. And either Krishna directly within the heart will reveal things to us, or the spiritual master will hear the words finally, what's being said. Because we're hearing, just like we may read Bhagavad Gita again and again and again, we think, well, this, you know. The worst thing is we don't care whether it makes any sense to us. It's just like we read it mechanically. Yeah, I'm a good person. I read Bhagavad Gita today. Krishna owes me something. Or we read it, we can't understand, and we think, whoa, what the heck? Who can understand this book anyhow? You read it upside down or right, it makes all the same sense. No, we have to read it with some attention, try to find out whether, think about whether I'm actually understanding it, whether it actually applies to me. And how it applies to me, or how it could apply to me, how it should apply to me. And then see if it actually, how I'm going to apply it within my life, when I'm going to apply it in my life, and how I'm going to do it. Then, if we have that attitude, then we might read the Bhagavad Gita and say, wow, I read that again and again, I never heard it. Finally, I understood something. That's called, we made a little progress, finally, reading Bhagavad Gita. It wasn't just, you know, like chanting. There are five powerful processes, chanting and Hare Krishna, worshiping the deities, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees, and making the atmosphere spiritual. So we may do the same thing over and over again, and we don't get any result from it. We think, well, either the process doesn't work, or I don't work, but I'm a good person, and I work, so there must be something wrong with the process. Now, there may be something wrong with the amount of attention we're paying to the process, so that we're actually doing the process as it's supposed to be done, as the great acharyas are asking us to do it. That is, my mind is concocting. We're supposed to circle the deities when we're doing arti, but I decide, well, why should I do that? I should make a zigzag, do something, draw a nice design on the deities with my incense stick. And then put it on Facebook. See the design I drew, theoretically? No, we should follow the standard procedure. That actually the arti is for Krishna, not for our for Krishna's glory, not for our glory. We want people to see Krishna, not to see how nicely I'm waving the insect stick. And if we do that, and we get some information, we get some realization, some understanding, well, that's good, then we've made some progress. We chant Hare Krishna with attention and hopefully with some feeling. We do the deity worship not as a mechanical thing, you know, waving the fan, you know, to the idols. Maybe someone will put me on Facebook and they should show me how nicely I wave the fan. No, we're doing it to please Krishna. And if we do something to please Krishna and Krishna is pleased, then we'll automatically become pleased also and we'll become enlightened in Krishna consciousness. So whether it's chanting Hare Krishna or the deity worship or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees or trying to make the atmosphere spiritual, especially by in the temple or outside, make the world spiritual by preaching. If we do it with attention and with care for Krishna, to please Krishna, then the result is that gradually we'll understand things. And as we understand things, then we'll put the great acharyas in our heart and we'll try to serve them with love and attention. And we'll be connected with Krishna through the succession. And everything will be revealed by that attitude. Krishna will give us, bestow upon us all his mercy. And then we'll understand what Krishna consciousness is actually about. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti rikarna rasayanam katha tojdoshavat ashvavargavartmani Shradaratira Bhaktiranukramishati, that it's in the association of devotees that Krishna consciousness becomes real. Otherwise, people are getting association with so many materialist Mayavadis, materialists, and for them, Krishna consciousness is completely either unknown or, because of our previous associations, we're full of doubts because we have so many other associations within our heart. But in the association of devotees, as much as we have a realized association, satam prasangam amavirya sambido, then the glories of Krishna become real. Bhavanti rikarna ristayam kata. And it goes into the heart, through the ear, into the heart. Through the ear means we actually get some understanding, and into the heart we actually become enthusiastic to do something to serve Krishna. Then, then gradually the path of liberation becomes clearer, the path of getting out of the modes of material nature becomes clearer, and then real faith develops, then experience of Krishna consciousness, or bhava, feeling for Krishna, and when bhava matures, real love develops. So there's a process. We may not feel bhava all the time, ecstatic love for Krishna. We may not have any real feelings of love for Krishna, but it can be developed if we follow the process properly. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you spoke about many things. about enthusiasm. What's the definition of enthusiasm? Is this a function of intelligence, or is the quality of the soul, or what is the...
Look it up in Nectar Instruction, verse number...
What's the hand?
Five. Yeah, the one who's... activities performed with intelligence and Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So again, activities performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm.
Activities.
What's that?
Activities.
Activities, yeah. Chasta. The word is chasta, activities. Chasta, activities. We're doing something, karma, with intelligence, jnana, but in Krishna consciousness. And that produces enthusiasm. It produces love of Krishna, which produces enthusiasm.
But impetus for the activities is probably before, no?
Well, you associate with devotees who appear to be enthusiastic, who appear to be intelligent and enthusiastic, and you think, I'd like to become intelligent and enthusiastic like they are. So then you hear them and you find out what I'm supposed to do, become intelligent and enthusiastic like they are. And you follow it and you become intelligent and enthusiastic like they are.
So impetus is like knowledge, understanding.
Well, but we get in the 18th chapter, Krishna says there's knowledge and then there's the impetus for activities.
So and that
the knower, knowledge, and the object of knowledge.
And then this results in enthusiasm.
But that's what it's supposed to do. If you follow Krishna consciousness process, then it's enthusiasm. If you follow some other process, it winds up according to the mode of nature that you're following. If you follow in the passion, you have to get a little taste in the beginning. In goodness, you become purified, although you go through the vipassana. If you follow in passion, then you become, initially you think you're happy and then you become disgusted. If you follow in ignorance, from the beginning and end you're bewildered and morose.
So also enthusiasm is in three modes?
Well, the absence of enthusiasm to different degrees is in three modes. Living in these triangles, just like you go to people who appear to be really enthusiastic, say you go to a football game, people are screaming, as their team loses, they become exactly the opposite. They become completely morose. And if their team wins, they just become more crazy. And eventually they go home and they fight with their wife anyhow. So that kind of enthusiasm is, you know, over something material is temporary.
But it,
the mode of passion, as he said, you may be very enthusiastic in the mode of passion, but at the end, you become disgusted. You may be enthusiastic about something material in the mode of ignorance, but there's hardly any real enthusiasm there. And it doesn't grow, it diminishes, whatever little enthusiastic. And in the mode of goodness, that's a little different. In the mode of goodness, you may be enthusiastic to follow some tapasya and become purified, and that inspires you, hopefully, to follow more tapasya. But where does it all lead to? If it leads to Brahman, then you waste your time. And it leads to the association with the devotees, and it has some value.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much, Gandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.